Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 10th, and I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I hope that you enjoyed last week's episodes that were non-interview related, but that you are ready to get back to some interviews this week, because we have two again. Today I am speaking with author Claire Marty, who has written, it's currently two books. There will be a trilogy and a novella in this series. It is the Finding Forever in Laguna series. The first book in that series is called Second Chance in Laguna, and the second is called At Last in Laguna. It's the second book that we'll be talking about today, although we talk a little bit about all the books in this. All three of the books and the novella have characters that cross over throughout the books, so they are interconnected. But I read the second one first. I have not had a chance to read the first one yet, although I do want to go back and learn more about Nick and Sophie's story. They are the characters of the first book. But I didn't have a problem reading the second book about Alyssa and Brant. I didn't feel like I was missing a lot. But there are those gaps. And so if you're a purist when it comes to series, then you should start with the first book, Second Chance in Laguna, and then move from there. But if you happen to see At Last in Laguna, or if you happen to win a copy in our giveaway, you can definitely read it as a standalone novel, not a problem. Hey, did you catch that giveaway part? Yes, we are back to giveaways. So stay tuned. At the end of the episode, I will remind you how you can win or enter to win a copy of At Last in Laguna by Claire Marty. If you love romance and wonderful stories with great characters and family dynamics, then you definitely want to enter that giveaway. So let me give you the description from the back of the book of At Last in Laguna, and that goes as follows. Alyssa Morgan has secretly been in love with her older brother Nick's best friend, Brant Dempsey, since she was an awkward, lonely teenager. When she catches the bouquet at Nick's wedding, she throws caution to the wind and propositions Brant to a two-week fling. He's tried to ignore how Alyssa has blossomed into a strong, talented, gorgeous woman, because as his best friend's baby sister, she's off-limits. After they share a mind-blowing kiss, Brant struggles to fight their undeniable chemistry. His tragic childhood scarred him, but he pushes it deep inside, only allowing the world to see a wealthy, carefree entrepreneur. Forced to work together on Brant's latest charitable venture, Brant and Alyssa's passion cannot be denied. Alyssa knows he's the one. Can she convince him they belong together? Again, that is the description, the description on the back of At Last in Laguna. So obviously it's a romance. I'm sure you can tell that from the description. I love the characters in the book, though, not just Brant and Alyssa, but Sophie and Nick, who are the characters in the first book, and Christian, who is will be featured in the third book, because of how real and human they are. So this is, you know, kind of a lighthearted beach read type of romance, but the characters are real people. You know, they are, obviously they're fictional people, but they're real in a sense that they come to their relationships with pasts, with their own hangups, with things that they feel are stumbling blocks to possible relationships, with family dynamics that have that take precedence and influence their decisions, etc. So even though it's lighthearted and just this kind of sweet romance about two people who are trying to figure out if they want to be in a relationship and are in love or not, they are fully developed characters. And because it's a series, then the secondary characters are fully developed as well, because you'll get those stories in other books. So I really appreciated that. And I'm going to turn to the interview now so that you can hear Claire talk. And I had so much fun talking to Claire this past weekend when we did the interview. She is hilarious. She is engaging. And if you enjoy this interview, you'll definitely enjoy the book, because she writes very similar to how she talks, in that fun, engaging, funny way. So here we have the interview with Claire Marty, author of the Finding Forever in Laguna series. Especially today, we'll be talking about book two, At Last in Laguna. So here's my interview with Claire Marty. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to have you here. I'm excited to talk to you about your series of books, the second of which we're going to talk about today, At Last in Laguna. But before we do that, I would love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I was born long, long ago. No, I'm just kidding. I'm originally from the East Coast. I grew up around outside D.C., and moved to California after college and never left, because I got to live by the ocean. Mm-hmm. I'm a runaway attorney. I used to practice law until I realized I didn't like confrontation. And so that was a bit of an issue. So I figured I could take my writing skills and my speaking skills and use them in a more productive way. So I'm a yoga teacher. Oh, up until last year, when my first novel came out, I was a yoga teacher who also wrote, and now I'm calling myself a writer who also teaches yoga, shifting that focus. So I write nonfiction about yoga and wellness as well, but fiction is really turning into my primary focus, and hopefully will be for a very long time.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. So talk to us about At Last in Laguna. Like I said, it's the second in a series of books. The series is called Second Chance in Laguna. I mean, sorry, that's the first book. Just tell us about the book. I'll stop trying to read and talk at the same time.
It's okay. I can do that. The series is called Finding Forever in Laguna.
Thank you. It is right there on my notes.
It's right there. Well, there's all that Laguna, 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 right?
Right.
We do know where the setting is. You don't have to ask me that, right?
Correct.
So, Finding Forever in Laguna, the first book was Second Chance in Laguna, where you meet all of the characters. And that first book is Nick and Sophie's story. At Last in Laguna was a story that was really popping up as I wrote the first book, because it's about Nick's younger sister, Alyssa, and his best friend, Brant. So you meet them in the first book, and you see how they bicker like little kids. So you kind of are curious about why they really don't appear to get along. So At Last in Laguna, we find out. And Brant is a hot, gorgeous, hunky hero who, if you know who Henry Cavill is, Superman and the Tudors and all of that, he was sort of my inspiration for Brant. So on the surface, he's a wealthy, successful entrepreneur. He made a bunch of money in the tech world at a young age. So he comes off as sort of this casual surfer guy who happens to have a lot of money. But under the surface, he comes from a very tragic childhood, abusive parents, drugs, alcohol, the foster system. So he's gotten really good at wearing a mask of looking like he's got nothing to worry about. And I really like to write about characters like that, who at first glance people assume, oh, they're good looking, they're smart, they're successful, their life must be perfect. Mm-hmm. And actually digging underneath the surface to see how good they were at crafting that persona, when actually inside they don't feel that way at all. So I find that interesting in a lot of the characters. So Alyssa, same thing. Now she's, she's a tall, willowy blonde. She's an interior designer. She's successful at what she does. She's snarky and funny. At least I think she's funny. I find her really funny. She had some issues growing up as well, and that comes out throughout the book, and some insecurities, and she was kind of the gawky, awkward teenager who blossomed later. So we meet her as she is now. So when you first see the two of them, you think, what problems could they possibly have, or why don't they get along? It's basically an enemies to lovers type of story. I mean, they're not true enemies, but they are very combative. And Brant basically doesn't want to have anything to do with Alyssa because he has very few close friends because he doesn't have a family. And so Nick is basically his family and how he considers it. And he doesn't think he's good enough for Alyssa. And Nick, Alyssa's older brother, is like crazy protective of Alyssa, like 1950s father protective, because their parents were killed in a car accident when he was 19 and she was 14. So, you know, she's his only family, and he just feels like, you know, everything's got to be perfect for her. He's the one to take care of her, even though she's a grown adult. He doesn't see her. He still sees her as the awkward, shy teenager he had to become a dad to, basically.
Right. Right. And that's definitely present throughout the book. I mean, not only does Brant not want to ruin his relationship with Nick, but he also knows how protective Nick is. And yeah. And it starts out, I mean, Nick asks Brant to keep an eye on Alyssa, which is really quite offensive.
Right.
Well, he's gone on his honeymoon. And then things move on from there. There were moments when I really wanted to just kind of, I don't know, smack Nick because of his attitude.
Yes. Nick was annoying in that book. And even you kind of want to smack everybody actually in the book because
a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we the readers are seeing it. Yeah, and you're like, oh, come on, but old scars run really deep. And I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but just as a person, I find myself doing stuff even at my ripe advanced age now that I should have gotten over when I was 22.
Right.
And it still pops up now beyond any logic and beyond any, I know better logically. It's just like when you're like, I know I should not eat this entire block of brie, but it's really good.
Yes.
I mean, that happened to me last weekend and I did it anyway, knowing I wouldn't feel good. Knowing the brie would reform and become a block in my belly, I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we do things, you know, sometimes it's like your subconscious. And so I think that was what I was working toward with the two of them, was that even though they knew better, they just couldn't help themselves from behaving badly.
Right.
Not so smart.
Well, and as often happens in books like this with a romance bent, they don't communicate well. You know, they decide they're going to have this relationship with no strings attached, but they each come into it with their own perceptions and their own baggage, and then they don't talk. And so as the reader, you know more than they do, which makes you just want to be like,
right,
if you just sit down and talk about this, it would be fine.
right. But, you know, that's too easy.
Right.
Right.
And the characters never listen to me. So, you know, are there autobiographical elements in your stories or your characters?
You know, in At Last in Laguna, not really. They not so much. A little bit of the element of, you know, I used to, when I was younger, people would meet me and think that I'd had kind of a easy, simple life without knowing anything about what I came from family-wise. So I have an understanding of that first impression judgment, you know, so that I could speak to. Second Chance in Laguna, Sophie Barnes, who's my heroine there, there's some more autobiographical elements in that book, kind of the starting over carpe diem theme, because I have had about 20 careers. So I'm good at just like, nope, doesn't work being a lawyer. I'm going to go run a nonprofit animal rescue, which is, you know, I did that, or I taught yoga, or I've done a lot of different things. And in Second Chance in Laguna, it's a, you know, she was jilted at the altar. Her ex-fiance is a cheating bad man, and he is actually based on my own ex-fiance. So
oh, wow.
I kind of got back at him.
Sure.
I changed the names, but yeah, that was kind of fun to, you know, to use a little bit of that. And so to kind of pull emotions from different situations and employ them for different characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then the location, is that near where you are? You said you were by the ocean, so... Is the location influenced by you living by the ocean?
Yeah, well, you know, I live in Encinitas, which is, a small community of San Diego, about 25 miles north of San Diego. And I'm about 45 minutes south of Laguna Beach. So when I first went to Laguna, I absolutely loved it because it just feels like a little bubble. It doesn't feel like a lot of the rest of Southern California. It's a little more... kind of separated and small and quaint, and it's an artist colony kind of town. So it's just really beautiful and a little more quiet, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my husband and I got engaged in Laguna Beach. So to me, I think it's one of the most romantic places in the world. And I just love going up there because I feel like I'm in the south of France or something. You feel like you're away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Thank you. I am going to jump in here so that we can take our first break of the podcast. But there you have Claire's description in her own words of the first and second books in her Finding Forever in Laguna series. And come on, they're at the beach. I mean, who doesn't want to read a beach about the beach, even if it's still winter where you are, because it won't stop snowing? You can read a book that takes place in the lovely Southern California sun, and you can imagine that you're on the beach. Why don't you go ahead and imagine your favorite beach? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more with the interview with author Claire Marty. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. Guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author Claire Marty. Before the break, she told us about the first two books in the series, Finding Forever in Laguna, and now she's going to talk about the third book in the trilogy, along with a Christmas novella that will round out this series. So let's get back to that interview. So this is a series. How many books do you have planned for it?
There's going to be one more in the series, a Christmas novella. So Sunset in Laguna is, the third book, and that is Christian Wolfe and Kelly, Prescott's story. Kelly is Sophie's best friend from the first book, and then Christian owns the wine bar where a lot of things happen, in the earlier stories. So you've met both of them, and, Christian Wolfe has, he's a vet from the Middle East, so he has PTSD issues. We deal with that. And Kelly's an attorney who comes and ends up running a nonprofit veterans organization in Laguna. So Sunset in Laguna is their story, and that is in the galley stage right now. I don't have the publication date yet, but it'll probably be around June, so this summer.
Okay.
And then I've got a Christmas novella coming out to kind of wrap up everything with Christian's younger brother, and that'll come out at Christmas because it's a Christmas novella.
Makes sense. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, and so for that series, that's what I have planned right now.
Okay. So are you... this sounds sort of greedy. Are you working on something after this series, or are you just concentrating right now on finishing up this series?
Oh, no. I just finished the first draft of a new book a week ago for a new series, and this one's actually longer. So the Finding Forever in Laguna series, those books are all around 50,000 words, so they're shorter contemporaries. So this book is about 75,000 words, so it's longer. It's more about 300 pages, and it's the first in a new series that I'm setting in Rancho Santa Fe, California. And they're set on a quarter horse breeding ranch. And so we have lots of fun with the horses. And Rancho Santa Fe is a really unique little community that's close to me, that it's kind of like Bel Air or the Hamptons. But everybody has a ranch and horses. So very wealthy inhabitants, but everybody walks around in cowboy hats and boots, but they're 5 miles from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really unique place. And yeah, I'm really excited about that book. And that one I'm working to, you know, get that one going this year and out and done and hopefully move forward on that series. And then I have another one too. A mainstream one. The next one is a mainstream women's fiction set in 1920s Paris and Antibes. It's basically a love triangle story set in that expatriate Hemingway, Picasso, Salon type of days. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, fun. Okay.
Got a lot on my plate.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself mixing up your stories or your characters?
No, I've tried to kind of keep like the shut the door between each one. So not yet. Knock
okay. That's good. You mentioned that you previously referred to yourself as a yoga teacher who writes, and now you've kind of flipped that a little bit. So talk mm-hmm. about your yoga and meditation work. I know that you've done some work, yoga break for writer's block. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I came to yoga I started practicing about 20 years ago and loved it. I'm a natural kind of type A personality, was practicing law and needed to really soften up a little bit, for want of a better word. So what I found, I thought yoga at first was really this physical practice to get, you know, bendy and strong and balanced. And what I learned was there's such a tie emotionally and mentally with yoga that I realized I started feeling more clear and softer. In other words, I didn't yell at people in traffic anymore. I drove a whole half hour and I didn't yell at anyone.
In Southern California, that's impressive.
In Southern California, I know, I should get a medal or something for that. So what I found, and you know, then I started running yoga. I started teaching. I run several yoga teacher trainings. I was actually a professor at a community college here and created a yoga teacher training program and taught the philosophy and all of that, and really learned that yoga is about learning to direct the focus of your mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for writers and applying that, you know, a lot of times you're like, okay, it's my writing time. I'm going to sit down, and you sit down and you look on the internet or you check Twitter or you like you forgot something at the grocery store. Like every, you know, that procrastination kicks in or distraction kicks in. And what I've learned is if you meditate or just even move for a little bit with yoga, you start focusing on your breath and you quiet your mind. So it's learning to direct your attention where you want it to go as opposed to reacting to all the external factors happening around you. So for writing, I think it's really huge. So I've done some, you know, for my publisher and for a couple of RWA chapters, romance writer chapters around the country, I've done some programs, you know, wellness for writers. We're focusing on a meditation practice 1 week, you know, like manifesting, you know, what you want to write, or focusing on pranayama, which is breath control or extension. So when you speed up your breath, you can lift your energy. When you slow your breath down, you can calm down, that type of thing. And the yoga break for writer's block is a little 13-minute routine that you don't even have to have stretchy pants on, but you probably do if you're writing, right?
Right.
But you don't need it. You don't need a yoga mat. You can just, you know, get up and stand up as long as you have a little bit of space. And it's all some standing postures. So to stretch out your back and your neck if they're getting stiff or rounding forward, you know, if your mind's getting foggy because you've been sitting at the computer for a few hours, just sort of open everything back up again, clear your mind, and, you know, create a little rejuvenating session, and then you can sit back down without fear of having to stop because, you know, your shoulders are so tight from hunched up, being so hunched over the computer.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find that?
There's a yoga website called yogadownload.com. And this class, actually, I offered, it's a free class. So you don't have to join and do a subscription or anything like that to use it. It's just a free class, and you can download it to your computer and have it on there. So it's just something that I thought I would share with people. And, you know, I've gotten great feedback that people are like, okay, good. I thought I was going to have to stop writing, but now I could go sit back down again. Mm-hmm. So
that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. You said that you have had many different paths and career paths. Was writing always a part of those career paths? Or, I mean, you said you wrote as a lawyer, obviously. But did you write in other ways throughout your life?
I did. I actually created my first book when I was 7 with a cover and illustrations and everything. I'm a huge animal lover, so a little baby squirrel fell out of the tree and my brother brought it in and we nursed it back to health with a little, you know, eyedropper. And the first thing it saw was me. So Squeaky thought I was the mom squirrel. So I had to write a story about Squeaky. So that was the first one. And my brother had a snake, a boa constrictor called Napoleon Bonaparte. So he got a story or she, who knows what the snake was, right? Napoleon Bonaparte. So I wrote about my animals and I loved, you know, English was always my favorite. I wrote stories all through high school. I majored in English. And 20 years ago, I had my first article published. So I started writing nonfiction articles in the wellness field because that's always been a big area of interest for me. Yoga, wellness, nutrition, exercise in general, that type of thing. I wrote several articles there. And actually now I write for yogadownload.com. I write their newsletter intros every week, on all their different topics for what goes out. And, you know, being a lawyer almost ruined my writing skills because they want it to be so journalistic and short, mm-hmm. you know. And I was like, wait, I need an adjective, please. Come on. But, I've blogged a lot. And then I did self-publish a book, a memoir in 2014. I went through breast cancer in 2010. And I ended up keeping a blog while I went through. And I was quite, kind of honest and raw. Some days it would be really funny. Some days it would be really not funny. But I ended up having a lot of followers and people reaching out to me telling me that my experiences helped them go through or also helped, you know, them understand what their sister or best friend or mother was going through because I would, you know, kind of talk about what happened. So I ended up adapting that into a memoir, which came out then and, you know, really for the purpose of helping other people going through. So I've always written and I always wanted to do fiction, and it was, you know, finally I think I kept getting pulled away by doing different things and I finally was like, nope, this is what I'm gonna do. And so here I am.
Well, great. Thank you. Do you have a favorite thing about writing?
You know, I really like the editing process in the sense of once I've got this first draft that is a complete mess, but then taking it and charting it out and putting all the puzzle pieces together, like seeing how it all works together and that process of polishing it up and making it sound like what I thought in my head as opposed to what the first draft looked like, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that, and I really enjoy, you know, getting into the characters. And, you know, there's times where you write and just it's almost like your hands start going and you don't know where it's coming from,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it all just, you get in this flow. That does not happen all the time, but I love when that happens.
Right. Absolutely.
For sure.
And often mm-hmm. when that happens, I know people have said that their characters sometimes surprise them and do things that they weren't expecting them to do.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So do you have a least favorite part about writing?
Kind of starting the first draft. Sometimes I just have a really hard time because it's like I'll be like, I know exactly what I want to happen in the scene. And then I start writing it and it's not coming out how I see it in my head. So I have a much easier time once I've got my first draft down. So getting the first draft down is really hard for me.
Sure. I do have to jump in here so we can take our second break of the podcast. I completely empathize with Claire talking about her first draft, because sometimes when I sit down to try to write anything, I mean, it doesn't have to be anything even really that important, but I can stare at that blinking cursor and the stuff that's in my head just does not want to come out of my head through my fingers and onto the screen. It's just, it feels impossible. So I definitely understand. Maybe you can also relate. When we come back, Claire will be talking about the advice that she has for authors, aspiring authors, established authors, whatever that might be. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We're going to go ahead and jump right back into the conclusion of my interview with author Claire Marty. In light of those things that we just talked about, your favorite and your least favorite, do you have advice for other authors?
I think, I kind of learned this as I went. When I started with Second Chance and Lagoon, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I read everything I could find. I would go on, all these different writing websites like writersdigest.com and that type of thing, and read about the craft and learn about goal and motivation and conflict. And really, I think it's so important to recognize that it is a craft and there's so much technical work that goes into making something an easy read, So I think studying the craft and always, keep learning, like go to workshops, take online workshops, go to conferences if you can. I've developed a really great network now of other authors, like several that I've met online in different groups, and then I got to meet them at conferences, and now we're real friends, And it's so helpful to be with. I have some who are way ahead of me in the game, who've been writing for longer and at this, kind of at a high successful rate. I have people who started around with me and were kind of on the same pace. And then I have some friends who are newer and aren't published yet. So I like kind of helping and mentoring them too. So it's nice to have that connection with people who get it. And I also think, finding a couple people, to beta read or critique your work. Like, I think it's so important to have another set of eyes on it. And I'm not a big group person. So for me to go sit in a group with, I know a lot of people like to have like six critique partners and they pass the stuff around and do the critiques. Like that's just not really my preference. But having someone that I can send a couple chapters to and different people, like a couple people who are just readers, people just tell me like, I love it or no, it doesn't make sense or, that kind of thing. So getting feedback and some other eyes on there, because it's easy to get lost. Also like listening to your editor. I mean, I feel that I learned so much, a great editor at my Ed Rose Press, who's my publisher now. And I've learned so much from her from, you know, the first book through now. And, you know, even when it's kind of challenging sometimes, you know, trusting that a good editor is there to help make your work better. So I think it's just really, you just keep learning and growing. And at the end of the day, though, like listening to your own voice, you know, I think I got good advice from someone about critiques, and I entered a lot of contests, you know, with Second Chance and Laguna. I entered some contests when I started, and, you know, I ended up winning one, and I got third place in one, and then I had another one where I got an F, where this woman hated my book told me it was the worst thing she'd ever read, and she hated, you know, and I was like, good grief. I mean, it was quite visceral.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like learning to take it with a grain of salt, that you're not going to please everyone, your stories aren't going to be for everyone.
Right.
But, you know, you'll find your readers, and you know, if 10 people tell the same thing, like, we hate your hero and we don't care if he lives or dies, then maybe you go back and look at your hero,
right?
But if one person says that and three people love him and one person says, you know, you pick and choose the advice that resonates with you, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, and some advice is constructive and some is just, you know, sometimes people are just mean.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it really depends on the person.
They're just mean, or you hit a trigger for them.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you wrote something that somehow reminds them of the guy that dumped them when they were 13 for their best friend on the playground.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
It's like, you somehow pulled that, you brought that person to life. And, you know, they'll never forgive you. So.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. When you read, do you have favorite authors and genres?
I have a pretty broad taste, but right now I love historical fiction and historical romance. And I love reading books where it's all woven in together, where they pull in the history with the fictional story, and it's done really well. So you kind of are learning a little bit. In historical romance, I love Carrigan Byrne. I love Anna Bradley and Lisa Kleypas, and Kelly Bowen is someone who I've been reading now, who has been newer, and they write really feisty, fun heroines, and not just, you know, not just the same old story you expect. They're, you know, they're really pretty juicy and lush. And I like a lot of classics. So Hemingway is probably my favorite author. So I reread his book several times a year, and Jane Austen, and, you know, the classics I go back to a lot. And I like Deborah Harkness and Anne Rice. I like stories with witches in them. I'm not a big paranormal person in general, but more of, you know, that kind of thing. And I like contemporary as well. Just, you know, it just depends. I go through phases. I mean, Nora Roberts is probably my favorite romance author, and I love her stories because she does banter and humor really well. So I like when I can kind of smile and laugh and, you know, find that kind of flirting tone, if that's for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find you on social media? And I know you have a website, so if you could give us that information.
Yeah, so my website is clairemarty.com. And, you know, I've got on there, I also have like links to my books and the previews that you can get from Amazon, so you can check them out from there. And my books are everywhere, so Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Kobo and iBooks and the Wild Rose Press as well. I'm on Twitter at Claire P. Marty, and Instagram, I think, is at Claire P. Marty. I'm newer to Instagram, so I'm trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I know it's not complicated, but for some reason I'm like, can I share this, or what do I do?
Right, yeah.
And Facebook, I have my author Claire Marty page as well. So I'm everywhere.
Okay.
All over.
Perfect. Thank you for that. As we're wrapping up, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to talk about, whether in terms of your writing or your books or yoga, just anything in general that you have that you want to get out there but we haven't covered?
I don't know. I feel like just in general for in the romance genre, and I've had people ask me, you know, why are you writing these little romance stories? Why aren't you writing something more serious or more literary?
Mm.
Because, you know, I did come from the English background and the law, and, or, you know, or something lofty, or, you know, if there's, you get that perspective from people, right?
Right.
Like your in-laws who you really wished hadn't read your book. But yeah, facing my husband's uncle, and he'd read the first book, I was like, so I'd be like that. See, it was very uncomfortable.
But, well, sure. And it's not, I mean, just for people who haven't read the books, they aren't hugely explicit, yeah. But there are sex scenes in them, and yes, I can,
yeah.
I can just imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're open door sex scenes, but they're not, you know, crazy. But I think for me, romance, I look at it, someone described this and it really resonated, but it's the genre of hope. And just because it's a romance, a straight romance novel like mine are, doesn't mean that, like, nothing's happening or different issues aren't being addressed. You know, I mean, Brant, kind of his background, I mean, as a hero, he's building this place called Tierman House for abused women and children who are the ones who fall through the cracks of the foster care system. You know, so we're addressing that. Alyssa has some issues from her past as well, and loss of a parent. And, you know, in the first book as well, both, you know, Nick and Sophie and, so all the characters have these inner demons. So they're, you know, learning to work through this internal conflict and being with another person sometimes helps them face their fears or face their issues and overcome them, which to me happens in real life, because I feel like the world is, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot of negative stuff happening in the world that we're being bombarded with. And for me, as a bookworm from a very young age, reading was my escape. So I really like to be able to go into a book. I don't know what's going to happen, but that I know at the end of 200 or 300 pages, I know there's going to be a happy ending. Right. I'm not going to have invested a certain amount of hours and my heart's going to get ripped out and I'm going to feel really depressed afterwards.
So, yes.
You know, that's like with romance, to me, it's like, there is hope, and we can deal with these different issues, and it can be just, it's okay if it's fun and light and something that doesn't necessarily change the world. Yeah,
right.
That kind of goes to my mother. My mom, why aren't you writing the next? I'm like, I'm not writing War and Peace. It's not gonna happen.
Right, right. But yeah, as you said,
I don't want to.
As you said, you do address some of those issues, and it sounds like coming up with the third book in this series, you know, you mentioned that Christian has some issues with PTSD, and there are ways to weave these other issues into the story, you know, but still have a romance that is maybe not lighthearted, that's not quite the word I'm looking for, but still, you know, you want the happy ending, you want something where you can just read it and feel good and have characters that you love, so... I totally get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And have characters that are real, because,
yes,
you know, at the end of the day, you know, I like kind of exploring that again, because it's like, you never know what you meet people. You never know what they're facing.
Exactly.
Right. You never know what they went through in their life before, you know, you really don't. And so I find that really interesting to uncover, and that there's, you know, we learn and grow through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to think of, you know, my ex-husband and my ex-fiance as, they were just big lessons. Big lessons. Still, I had to go through those until I met my own hero, right?
Right.
So I think that translates into books too, you know?
Yes. And they give you great fodder for book characters, possibly.
Sure.
You should always
be very, very careful.
Exactly. I was going to say, you should always be careful when you are friends with or in relationship with a writer, because you will end up in print somewhere.
You just might.
Yes.
Maybe. But yeah.
Yes. Well, Claire, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to me about your book. So the first two are out now in the Finding Forever in Laguna series, and those are Second Chance in Laguna, which is the first book, which I think that's where I was getting confused, and At Last.
Yes.
At Last in Laguna, and then the third one will come out sometime this summer, probably.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Looking forward to that. And thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Again, thank you so much to Claire for taking the time out of her weekend to spend some time talking to me about her series, Finding Forever in Laguna, as well as some of her other books that she's working on, other series that she's working on. I had so much fun talking to her. She is just so engaging and funny and really delightful to listen to. And that translates into the books that she writes. So you should definitely pick up a copy. You should definitely enter to win a copy of At Last in Laguna. To do so, it's very easy. You just have to go to one of our social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. If you go to Facebook, just share the episode 72, and you'll be entered. If you go to Twitter, you can retweet the episode, again, episode 72. Or if you go to Instagram, you can comment on the post with this episode. Did I mention that it's episode 72? Yeah. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, share, retweet, or comment. It's just that simple. And once you do that, you'll be entered to win a copy of this delightful book. I have three to give away, and I will be announcing those winners in a couple of weeks. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to Claire for joining me. Thank you to you, my listeners, for joining us as we discussed her books. I love my authors. I love talking to them about the passion that is their writing. It always just makes me so happy to hear them talk so passionately about the work that they do. I hope that you will join me again on Thursday when I will be interviewing author Cynthia Diamond about her Weird Love series. So we have another romance series. This one is a contemporary urban fantasy romance series. And we'll be talking about the whole series, but specifically about the fourth book in that series, Alchemy's Hunger, in the Weird Love series. So join me on Thursday for that. In the meantime, you can find all of the GSMC Podcast Network podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, any app that you use for whatever mobile device you prefer. And of course, you can follow us on social media and read our blog, www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com. All of those links are in the notes for this episode, and all of Claire's links will be in the blog article, the blog post that goes along with this episode. So you can find her website, her social media sites, etc., etc. Thank you again for joining me. Join me again on Thursday. But in the meantime, go out and get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.